In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. When a new visitor enters an Orthodox church, one of the first things noticed, in addition maybe to the scent of incense and the three-barred cross, is most often our prolific use of icons. If there's one feature that most stands out in Orthodox worship space, it's our iconography. Icons are so commonplace in both our churches and in our homes, and so intrinsically linked to our spiritual life that it's hard to imagine Orthodox spiritual life without icons. But there was a time when iconography as such was questioned, rejected, and even outright persecuted by large swaths of people within the church, including clergy, including bishops. And this internal questioning, this rejection, went on for a couple hundred years. We're talking the late 600s, 700s, into the 800s. And after so much debate and even destruction, the proper place of icons was restored on the first Sunday of Lent in the year 843 under Empress Theodora. I think it might benefit us to consider three of the main objections to icons that the church wrestled with, and how the church responded to those objections. And the first argument was that we shouldn't be making images in the first place. The second commandment says, "You shall not make any likeness of anything in heaven, anything on earth, or anything in the seas." And there were some among the iconoclasts, which is to say the objectors, who took that strictly. They said, not only should we have no icons of Christ, we shouldn't be making paintings of anything. No trees, no animals, no fish, no birds, no stars, no clouds, no people, no likeness of anything in heaven, on earth, or in the sea. Now, the church easily refuted that position, showing that the commandment was not against images per se, but against making images into idols, into objects of worship. And as part of the proof of this, the saints pointed to times when God specifically ordered the Israelites to make images, and not just as art, but in a religious context. God ordered images of angels to be fashioned of gold on the Ark of the Covenant, the sacred container that held the very tablets of the law that talk about images. And God had Moses make a bronze serpent and set it high on a cross, so when any Israelite was bitten by a poisonous snake, all they had to do was look at the bronze serpent and they were healed. So it's not only an icon of a snake, but a miracle-working icon at that. The second objection by the iconoclasts was against the veneration of icons, holding these images as sacred, sensing them with incense, kissing them when we enter the church. "This is outright idolatry," they said. "How is kissing and sensing icons any different than when the Israelites worshiped the golden calf that Aaron made when Moses was delayed, or the Babylonians worshiping the giant golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up?" And again, the holy men and women responded with grace. "We are not worshiping the image," they said. "None of us thinks that the icon is a god." St. Basil said it most clearly centuries earlier when he taught that the honor shown to the image of someone passes to the person himself or herself. If I kiss a photo of my granddaughters, I am not worshiping printer paper. I'm expressing love for the girls themselves. And now the picture itself becomes special to me, but only because of who's depicted on it. And likewise, the icon itself is sacred, but because of who is painted on its surface. You know, we love our icons the same way anyone might love a cherished family portrait. The portrait is special because of who's shown on it, but no one in their right mind thinks the portrait is their family. Now, the third major complaint by the iconoclasts was this: Jesus Christ is both God and human. And while you can paint human nature, you cannot paint the divine nature. So to paint an icon of Jesus is to neglect his divine nature. But the church said, strike three. When you paint the image of someone, you're not painting their nature at all, but their form. And frankly, you can't even paint human nature. I mean, think of all the attributes of human nature that can't be painted. Abstract thought, imagination, empathy, free will, creativity, holiness, love. These are all part of human nature, but none of them can be painted. And we can represent certain things with symbols like a heart for love or a halo for holiness, but a painted halo is not holiness itself. A painting doesn't attempt to capture our nature, but our form. And likewise with Jesus Christ, we aren't depicting the divine nature as such. And in fact, we're not even depicting the human nature. Instead, we are presenting the image of the one who is divine, yet became human and took on a visible form. Now, besides all of this, there is another reality the iconoclasts never understood. As long as there are human beings on this earth, there will be images of the divine, because we are icons. While we are not divine beings by nature, we are created in the image and likeness of God. And in baptism, we are partakers of the divine nature. And therefore, to be human is to be an icon of the divine. And we honor and venerate the image of God in ourselves and in each other. And so this controversy over icons, which lasted several hundred years, was finally put to rest on the first Sunday of Lent in the year 843. Empress Theodora held a triumphant procession of icons through the streets of Constantinople, culminating at the great church of Hagia Sophia, of Holy Wisdom. And every year since, on the first Sunday of Great Lent, at cathedrals all over the world, we celebrate the restoration of icons in the Orthodox Church, up to and including this very day. This afternoon, the traditional Vespers of Orthodoxy Sunday will be held at St. Mary's Cathedral as a joint service for all the Orthodox churches in the greater area, and concluding with the traditional procession of icons and the proclamation of faith. If you can get to Minneapolis this afternoon, it is a majestic sight to behold. But even if you can't, I'd still like to invite you to celebrate icons within your own home. Maybe this afternoon, light a candle in front of your icons. Set your favorite icon out on your dining table for the day. And perhaps most importantly, pay extra attention to the image of God in yourself and in other people. Amen.